Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Are you troubled by stale podcasts in the middle of the night?
Do you love films that feature the busting of spooks, specters, or ghosts?
If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is an RPG audio drama combining tabletop gaming and cinematic paranormal elimination adventures.
Call the professionals at nerdyshow.com/ghostbusters.
We're ready to believe you.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop.
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny.
Drag is the new spandex.
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBeer here with another episode of Drag is the New Fish and Chips. Our UK version of Drag is the New Spandex. That's not the title of it, but hey, I wanted to make the joke. It is our drag extravaganza side of Flame On, and we are here to talk about Drag Race UK. RuPaul's Drag Race UK. I really shouldn't leave off RuPaul because RuPaul actually got on a plane and flew over to the UK to film this.
She's a little involved in this one.
I know. And if you've ever listened to What's the Tea or know about RuPaul, RuPaul does not fly. So for her to get on a plane, they couldn't drive her to the UK. I mean, they could try, but...
Could have put her on a boat with Greta.
So wait, she doesn't fly.
Send her over with Greta.
She doesn't fly from New York to L.A. to where is she, Montana?
I'm sure she does, but she does not like to. Why she doesn't tour with the girls or anything.
Oh, that's why.
That's part of him. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm sure that also her rate, but you know.
Yeah.
She's talked about it. She and Michelle have talked about it when they were doing the bots tours and everything. They wanted to have RuPaul, but RuPaul will not fly. She is a fear of flying or... some sort of issue with flying.
I understand that.
But if you are excited about this, you've heard two voices already. They are joining me in this discussion about Drag Race UK. We have got Brian and Eric here. What's up, boys?
Hello.
Howdy, howdy.
And if you have already listened to them, I did a RuPaul's Drag Con New York City recap. And if you listen to that, I am truly sorry, because that was just 35 minutes of me talking about 3 days at Drag Con, and if you made it through that and you didn't unsubscribe, I appreciate you more than you can ever imagine.
You kept it interesting. It was not boring.
For one person talking. I hated it so much. Only just because I hate hearing my own voice for so long. So to sit there for 45, 50 minutes, because, I mean, I only took out, like, you know, I only messed up, like, once or twice. And then to have to go and edit it, oh... it's like nails on a chalkboard for me. So I talked about meeting the drag queens that are in the inaugural cast of RuPaul's Drag Race UK, the 10 drag queens who are ruling the United Kingdom. And shortly after that episode, we also dropped interviews that we were able to do at DragCon New York City with all 10 of the queens. We were dealing with mic issues, and we did our best to still be able to get some interviews done. And the audio on the extracted audio wasn't as good as the video audio, so I'm going to try to play with getting some video put together and maybe getting that out to y'all as well. But now the time has come. October 3rd is come and gone, and the first episode of RuPaul's Drag Race UK has hit Wild Presents Plus and the BBC 3. If you're here in the States and you have not streamed it and you're waiting for it to come to television, then the day that this episode drops, which is Friday, October 11th? Yes, 11th. Then you can watch it on Logo. So if you haven't seen this episode, come back to this one because we are going to talk all about the girls, their looks, and the things that we found funny or not so great about Drag Race UK. So before we get into specifics, Eric, why don't you start us off with some just general thoughts about the first episode of Drag Race UK?
I thought it was good. There was no season one filter on this one.
I would have loved had they started the episode with that filter just as like a joke for season one and then like immediately taken it off.
Well, I mean, for a second, I thought they did because my stream was buffering a little bit when it started, so it was looking a little pixelated. I'm like, oh, they got a filter on
it. It's a digital filter now.
But no, it seemed like a typical first episode of the season of Drag Race. Just them using a lot of colloquialisms that I wasn't necessarily familiar with.
Do you feel like your WoW Presents Plus subscription should have come with a British slang dictionary?
A pop-up video to almost go with the, yeah.
What is a tuppence?
Totally.
Oh, come on. Everybody knows that, right?
What is gobshite?
Tuppence? That was from Australia.
I know what tuppence is.
Mary Poppins prepared me well for this.
Well, I've never seen a Mary Poppins, so.
What? Whoa!
What's a Mary Poppins?
Oh, my lord.
But a shit with an E on the end of it?
Shite! What is this shite? Minge got thrown around so much, and I was totally. Ginger. Where is she? Which, rest in peace, the tour of Xanadu.
I heard it's just postponed.
Oh,
I
mean, no. You know,
yes, but
postponed until somebody buys tickets.
Oh, no.
Ooh. Because that was the reason stated for why
it was
postponed was for low ticket sales.
Oh. I mean, I was going to buy one.
What were the venues they were looking at? Were they like,
I have no idea. Ugh. I was just waiting to find out when they were coming down here so I could buy my tickets, because I know that most of our listeners know already that I am obsessed with Xanadu the Musical. So at least this time it probably wouldn't have ended with the lead getting sick.
Probably not.
And us being asked to wait for 15 minutes and then being told, sorry, we're canceling the rest of this performance.
Well, I'm sure this tour would have come with at least an understudy or two.
At least an understudy. Although, I was joking with CJ, because Ginger was telling me that she had, like, busted up her leg and, like, cut up her leg. Jinx had hurt herself because they're trying to learn all this stuff on roller skates. So when I found out that they had postponed the tour, I was like, oh my god, is this the new Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark? And he said no. So I guess ticket sales were the reason, but anywho, minges aplenty on Drag Race UK. Brian, what are your initial thoughts on episode one?
I think RuPaul's Drag Race should end. Or, alternatively, spend money that they've obviously been making and reinvent the damn show. Because this show, for all that drag is in the UK, how inventive and dynamic and everything that I've been seeing over the last however many years of Instagram queens and videos and hearing like race chasers talk about it, drag there is vibrant, and this show reduced it down to the RuPaul cookie cutter drag show model, and in only subtle small ways actually innovated and changed things down to the set. Occasional little touches here and there that were different to I think that's about it, really, in terms of reinventing it. They kept everything, and I guess there's nice consistency in the brand, and they did just like rehaul the show visually after 10 seasons last, but come on, man, like, do something different be bold. Drag is about bold choices, not safe choices.
There is no one way to drag. So being bold doesn't necessarily mean anything.
Being bold means you don't end up like somebody who lost that first episode.
Well, then, I mean, she went home for a reason.
Because she didn't.
And as sweet as she was to me, she deserved to go home.
No,
and I mean, I don't know if there would have been, well, I guess that's getting into spoiler territory.
Well, I didn't say who. Right.
Yeah.
We're still waiting to, we're giving people time to be like, wait, they haven't said her specifics yet. I can still listen. Because, I mean, we are just going to start spoiling the shit out of the show. So.
But I mean, seriously, like, I like Drag Race. I'm not going to not watch it, so I'm part of the problem here. But I just, and even the selection of the queens, overall, it just felt very homogenous in, you know, with little different representations and all that, but just boring in so many ways.
That's what most reality shows are, and that's what opens up the field to other shows, and in some cases I feel it hinders a show a little bit. Dragula. which I've actually now caught up on. I'm entirely
what, how does it hinder?
Three I don't... seasons full of Dragula.
What's the, what do you mean by
I just, I don't know that, well, this isn't a Dragula discussion. I'm just, but what I'm saying is that it opens up the field for other shows to then have these other aspects to it and be able to show these other things where it's like American Idol. Okay, so American Idol is this one version of a singing competition.
Yeah.
That opened up the door for something like X Factor.
And The Voice.
And The Voice.
And The Masked Singer, or whatever that show is.
These other, like, it opens up, it takes away almost a monopoly of this type of show. And it opens up, this is how it works. I mean, like, look at a Top Chef that's 15 seasons in. I mean,
they don't reinvent the wheel.
Well, right. I mean, they'll tweak their challenges a little bit.
This is me saying this, not watching any reality shows except this.
Yeah.
Because I think they're overall just unwatchable most of the time. But I will say that I am excited by innovations.
But I mean, you watched
like
Cutthroat Kitchen, you watched Chopped.
Oh, Cutthroat Kitchen, that's right.
Like, you know, those
shows. Cutthroat Kitchen is different because they it's a farce. Like, it's humorous.
But it's the same thing. Like, yes, there are different obstacles that are put in their way, but it's the same thing over these seasons.
Yeah.
There's
no, Cutthroat Kitchen never like reinvented itself.
Yeah, same thing with Chopped. Chopped is 47,000 seasons into it because they're only like five episode seasons.
But
right?
At least Chopped, like, especially at, I don't even know at what point it started, they started doing more and more exotic pairings and themes, and like, I don't know, Drag Race is just boring. Again, I a lot of this comes after certain things that have happened recently with Drag Race and people like Delta Work being let go and Matthew, whose last name escapes me,
Anderson,
being largely disparaged and forgotten about, even though he was key and instrumental in setting the looks. And I'm not exactly the biggest World of Wonder fan going into this, to be quite frank.
World of Wonder, his reviews do not reflect all of us here on the show. You cannot give him passes for shit.
Listen, I've never been to DragCon, so I can say this without, anyway. But no, I'm disappointed that they didn't take this opportunity to innovate. From what I've even seen and heard of Thailand, Drag Race Thailand, right? That show was very different in a lot of ways. Well, mainly because they had different hosts, they had different, really different, from what I was told. Now, I have not watched it. I will be quite frank about that. I have not watched it. They had them do like a full production number where they did their own choreography, they did their own music. I mean, it sounded like they really pushed the envelope in that show. But this show just felt same, safe, and as much as I did enjoy the queens, and I'm not going to shit all over them, the production, I just am disappointed in.
But I mean, it's also being marketed directly to the same audiences.
It is.
100%. RuPaul's Drag Race in the States. RuPaul is involved. It's going to, you know, they're reinventing the wheel with All Stars 5.
Oh, are they?
Yep.
I did not know that. That's
exciting. Well, I mean, nobody's supposed to know that, but those in the know that, or those who, you know, read the leaks and all that know that.
Well, because they're hearing this feedback, not just from me. I mean, they're hearing this from
this
a lot
is the
of
thing.
People.
It's, you're able to do that with offshoot shows. You change just enough. Like, they changed the finale. Now it's not, okay, well, the top three go in and we do the reunion and we do all this. Like, and If you haven't heard already, Hulu now has seasons 1 through 6.
Yep.
Because they said, fuck you, Amazon Prime. We can do this better. Not just that, they also have Untucked for seasons 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and All-Stars 1 and 2. Hulu stepped the game up very much so.
Yeah, so I just finished rewatching the first season.
Oh, I just finished rewatching 6, because, God, I love that season so much.
Yeah, 6 is, I think, the peak Drag Race.
Yeah, that's the pinnacle, for me especially. 4 made it very much a bigger thing within the community. 5 stepped their game up. And then 6 took it to the point where that's peak before it became very self-conscious, very self-referential, very media conscious for the queens themselves, and it took on a whole different life of its own. But, so, okay, so those are your thoughts. I mean, everybody's thoughts are valid.
Hot takes.
On it. We may not always agree on some of these things, but... That's why we do this show, because if we all either just praise something or shout on something, it wouldn't have as much of a great feel of conversation. Unless we're talking about House of X and Powers of 10, in which case, if you shit on that, you get out of my house right the fuck now.
That'd be an echo chamber, yeah.
Oh, God. So good. If you're not reading House of X and Powers of 10, go do it now. We have one more week until everything just finalizes and crystallizes into a brand new Dawn of X.
It turns into Kennedy Davenport.
Oh, after a long night of hooking. Trey didn't like it. Oh, sorry. No. My bad. So I loved it. I thought this was a very good throwback to the 4, 5, 6 era of Drag Race US, with the better budget for the look of the set and the set pieces. But with queens, again, that are not the... I'm not going to say this because of all of the social media feedback and, you know, whatnot. Because these queens haven't really had that. Some of them are younger and more Instagram look queens.
Some of them have never been to a drag show before. Like, it's bad enough for other seasons where it's like, oh, no, I just host a Instagram or YouTube show. But yeah, you obviously have been to shows, no drag queens, but then that.
Well, see, you wanted them to change it up. They cast a straight man who's only been doing drag for 11 months.
They cast Ed
who's
Sheeran.
Who's never been to a drag show before.
I didn't know that Ed Sheeran, for all the other things he's done, has also decided he wants to do drag. That was very impressive and bold of him.
Oh, Lord. Oh, scaredy cat. When he was like, I've got a girlfriend. I was like, I mean, I got girlfriends too, but... No, really?
That's okay. Oh. I actually would have been pleased if they had done an AFAB queen.
Oh.
That'll never happen, but it would have been interesting. Yeah.
Let me not get on Hollow Eve right now. We're not going to talk about that right now.
Even Camp Wanakiki has a AFAB.
They have, Dragula has a drag king, and I will say that Landon is quite talented, and I'm not usually a big drag king fan, and Landon being top 5, spoiler alert for those of you watching Dragula season 3, she, as Landon, does amazing makeup work and completely transforms herself to look like a man, and I'm quite impressed. The bio queen that was on Dragula season 3 was a screaming, raging, almost kind of anti-gay feminist, anti-capitalist. Which, I mean, I get a lot of the issues, but some of the way it was handled was like, this is much. I have no problem with bio queens at all. I just don't need them yelling at me and saying that they want to, you know, run into every gay bar and show their tits to take down the gay man. I'm like, you realize the rest of this room, right? This is weird.
That's fine.
Anywho, back to Drag Race UK. I thought it was quite adorable. It gave me a lot of the feels of old school Drag Race with a lot of the look of new Drag Race. So,
yes.
Okay, enough about the hot takes. Let's get into our entrance looks. Let's talk about these girls because, again, this is not the same styling feel in a lot of ways as what the Drag Race queens have now come into. It's not very gaudy. For the most part, there are some that are gaudy and cool.
Yes.
but a lot of them, like, take Bag of Chips is the first one into the workroom, and her little, you know, shiny leopard print, you know,
yeah, I thought
two piece was cute,
yeah,
but it felt very like Kelly Mantle walking into the season six workroom in, you know, a little black dress with neon hearts on it and Gia Gunn, you know, saying it's not giving her the feels, but I thought it was adorable.
She's cute. I mean, I don't know that out of drag, her boy self, like, makes me, I don't know. Something about the persona makes me a little grated. I don't know what it is.
Bag of Chips in drag? Bag of Chips out of drag?
But in drag, I'm more forgiving when it's a heightened character. I think if that was the real person I had to deal with, I would just get over that, like, you know, personality. It's too much for me as like a person. Anyway, that's what
I will fight you all.
She's good.
Any of y'all out there don't like Bag of Chips, I will fight you too.
She is a fun queen, and I do like
her. She makes good TV.
Yes. Oh, she makes good TV.
Yes, but not in like, not in a,
not in a
villainous
mess.
Like,
no,
punty
no, no, no,
way.
No, no, yeah. No, she's very fun.
No, I love me some Bag of Chips. From DragCon, I walked out of DragCon being like, okay, that's my girl on season one of Drag Race UK.
She's very calorie, kind of, but with a little more personality than calorie conveyed, I think.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Oh, come on.
Blue Hydrangea.
I like her a lot.
From Ireland.
I liked her look. I wanted it to be fitted.
Yeah, it was not fitted at all. It was just a tube of material.
It was a cocoon.
She was Jasmine to... Masters was going to pop out of her in a second.
Oh, no.
And I whoop.
and I whoop. Her makeup skills, fucking amazing.
Yes.
Amazingly on point. When we saw her in New York, holy shit, looks so fucking good. So good. But yeah, needed to be fitted. And I mean, she's got a what looks to be like a kind of a corseted bodysuit underneath.
Yeah,
you can see it through the material.
Fabric. Yeah.
But yeah, I needed that. It had some curve, but I needed it to be cinched in the middle to really give it a full look. Davina DeCampo.
Beautiful.
I love me some fucking pink and black plaid. You know that. You know that. You've seen my Facebook page profile for Bears in the City. You know I love me some pink and black.
She's so well polished.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. She knows she's good. She knows
how to work her angles. She's got a good personality. Like you said, she's polished.
I mean, she's got a good personality, but I could see her going a little ego crazy.
Oh, a little bit. They definitely played that up.
I don't think so. She's just very, got the experience. She's done so much stuff.
Yep.
Her laugh gets on my last fucking nerve. That.
Is that a sample? Can
I
we use
know.
That?
I can't remember what it sounds like.
Can that be my text noise for
sure.
You?
Please, please. That's
sure thing.
That's a Patreon exclusive.
Oh my God, your hook is now on Patreon for our subscribers, just so that they're aware.
Why would we talk to poor people?
That's still my favorite thing to scare me awake.
And so then who is this with the uniboob?
Uniboob.
With the
Uniboo-boo.
Unibrows are out. Uniboobs are in. That is Crystal.
I love that outfit. I think that's fantastic.
And Crystal is actually a North American queen.
Canadian expat.
Yep. Like, I like the idea of that outfit, but it was just a jumbled mess all across the top.
I love it. You're wrong.
And Crystal is a hairy-chested, hairy-armpited queen.
Yeah, so...
BT-dubs.
I put that in my notes, like, usually, I thought they called queens out when that happened. This time, they didn't seem to care.
Because they are updating and changing their style for the show, and they're allowing hairy armpitted and hairy chested girls on the stage.
Next innovation.
Next, you're going to be saying Michelle doesn't care about flats.
Oh, no, she gives a shit about flats.
Well,
no, but that's her look.
It was RuPaul that called out the fat flats.
Yeah, but then Michelle harped on them.
Yeah, I mean, she didn't let him go, but it was RuPaul that really had the issue with the
Nor
flats.
Did she let his nose go, but I mean, you're wearing prosthetics. That's my nose. The thing is, if you get cast because you are a full femme, look queen, this is the thing, blah, 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 whatever. And then you come out and you do something like that, that's going to get called out. That is Crystal's look. Crystal has the hairy chest. Crystal has the hairy armpits. Crystal does this. When you cast somebody and that's their aesthetic, you can't call them out on that.
No, I'm fine with that. I just didn't realize from what they said that that was her aesthetic.
It would be like casting Beyoncé and then saying, why do you have a full beard?
That's the logical progression. If you're going to do this, then how long before you do that? And I think that's great. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But not everybody.
They don't change anything. You hear this, folks?
See, no. Hold on. Let's not oversimplify.
They're opening them doors.
Let's not oversimplify what I said. I said they needed to reinvent. Incremental changes are absolutely here. What I'm saying is the show needs a complete evolution. Like,
but you're also not going to take a chance on your main show that is your cash cow right
they
now.
They did in Thailand. And again, I guess,
are they marketing it to this market
where it's a cash cow?
They're marketing to the Thai audience, which expects different from their television
which
show.
Is completely different because you have something like Miss International Queen, which is 15 years into it. That pageant, I mean, Giselle was there for 3 fucking weeks. Like that,
in
their
Thailand?
Whole thing, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Their whole thing, and I mean, honestly, their fucking part of their prize package is a sex change operation. So, I mean, quite honestly, like, Thailand's a lot different marketplace than where this cash cow is. So, you can take a chance and reinvent the wheel with something like All Stars. That's why we saw teams. We saw that didn't work. Then they go to All Stars Season 2, and they're like, we're not going to eliminate anybody. You are. And then we saw that worked. So, we brought it back for 3. Then we're like, okay, well, we're going to do a jury.
Then, yeah, they added a jury. And
then they're like, all right, we're going to do it for 4. 2 winners. And it's like, all right, 5. Has anybody heard what 5 is?
No, I'd rather be surprised.
All right, I'm not going to say nothing.
You tell me later because I want to know.
I'm not going to say nothing.
But if you look at other famous reality franchises that go international, like, say, The Voice, it's very samey country to country, except for some of the Asian countries.
I was in Japan and I watched whatever their equivalent of it was very similar. So yeah. I know what you're saying. I just disappointed. Let's move on though.
Something Wong.
Yes.
Oh, Something Wong.
She was amazing.
Jiggly Caliente.
She's not
Jiggly
Caliente.
Know that.
I don't think she looks anything like Jiggly Caliente.
No, but it's the whole all black people look the same. It's
Jiggly is Asian. I actually forgot that, honestly.
Actually, I mean, in some ways, she does kind of have a similar resemblance to Jiggly.
I mean,
Jiggly now than when Jiggly was on the show.
Yeah, I was going to say. But no, she, that first look is not bad. I love the flowers at the bottom. I really like that. She's very boob-tastic. She had lots of boob going on all of her outfits.
She's a breastplate queen.
Yeah, totally. So I like that.
I mean, and usually larger individuals have more chest to work with.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but usually then they use their own tits for that, and she's a breastplate girl.
Oh, yeah. Totally.
So it's not even just that. And I mean, she could be a bigger boy that doesn't really have as much extra on the chest area.
Yeah.
So because like a Darian Lake, a Silky Nutmeg Ganache, like, The queens that are much shorter and heavier tend to, that weight's distributed different. Something Wong is tall.
Oh, really?
Oh, God, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, granted, in heels still, but I mean, like, Something Wong next to me is like a good 5 inches taller.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, I'm not super tall, but still, in comparison to some of the girls, like, Coco in heels is Pat sized. Coco out of heels is like, you know, making cookies in a tree somewhere.
I did feel like overall the queens in the UK were a little rounder and not essentially plus size, but in some cases definitely, but overall not as emaciated, skin and bones, Violet Chachki.
Well, because their look isn't as focused on you need to be super skinny, you need to have the drawn in face, you have to have the Botox and the fillers. And I mean,
yeah,
somebody like a Davina and honestly Vivian to an extent. More of that facial look.
Yeah.
But the other girls like Baga and Something Wong definitely have a much fuller, normal person look to their face.
Well, that's refreshing. I do like that.
Yeah. The only thing with her, and it's not bad because every look of hers was fully realized. It just didn't feel like it. It felt like it had rough edges on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, like a lot of these.
I don't think she was sloppy, but I think there were certainly little things that she could have.
I still think compared to like first seasons of other show, other seasons, and even first episodes of some other seasons that, I mean, they weren't in the workroom making these outfits on site, so it's a little different. But we've seen some worse rough edges on some first episodes of seasons before.
Yeah.
I will just say that she definitely looked so much better on this episode than I felt that her look was at DryCon.
Oh, really?
Super nice, super sweet. And if you are on the PlayStation Network, you can message Something Wong, and she'll give you her friend code, and you can play online with Something Wong.
Oh my gosh, she's totally stealing a Trixie thing there.
She's a gamer queen.
That's awesome.
Okay. In general, there's X-Men fans in this group. There's gamers. There's
cosplayers.
It is the nerdiest fucking group of queens.
Good.
And I was so excited for it. There were a couple that were like super big X-Men fans. And Brett White was in the room with us also, so like he was interviewing them before they got to us, which, because I felt like a real news outlet, because we were in the press room, and then there was the line that like the each outlet like had their space, and it had a little tape that said your name, and it was like, it was just kind of fun to be like in the same line as like all these other
news and media
outlets.
Is Brett still working for Collider?
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Okay. Yeah, I saw he was there and covering, and he's gotten so fabulously. His outfits now are so fabulous. He's really done such a great job with his look. But yeah, I didn't know if he was still Collider. Who's the next queen here in the black?
Cheryl.
That
Hole?
Is Cheryl Hole.
Oh. Okay.
Yes, the attitude queen of the first episode.
A little bit.
Which, if you haven't watched it, they kind of baked a little bit of Untucked into this. It felt like a weird baby of regular Drag Race and All Stars, where they sent the queens away and then they show them in the back, like where the deliberations happen for All Stars, where it's like, don't send me home, I want to stay here. But for this, like they were like, oh, we didn't have room to build a second place for the Untucked Lounge.
Is that not kind of how it used to be prior to Untucked being split out?
No, it's
you guys
been
are rewatching stuff. So
it's always been split out.
Even in season one, RuPaul referenced the Interior Illusions Lounge.
Right,
yes,
but I meant
because
Untucked.
It wasn't called Untucked.
Right,
it was. I forget what they Under the Hood, because they were still on this real.
I think so, because it was still car related.
It was all everything in season one was supposed to be very car.
So you're saying
actual drag
they just
related.
Don't have a separate set. As
well,
much as
it's never well. Yes, now it's on the other side of the wall,
right?
And it's one big room, and then the Untucked Lounge is a separate area. They used to have the silver room and the gold bar.
Oh yeah,
because you had your safe queens went back first, and then they sat in the silver area and they chatted or whatever while the critiques were going on, and then they moved them into the gold bar. And then the queens that were in the top and bottom went into the silver bar, and the safe queens had the big pink furry box and the
video message.
And like all of those things happened in there. And then they were like, and everybody back into the silver room, and then everybody would talk, and you know, that was the I feel very attacked and these things happening in there.
This was my moment.
I've had it officially. You know,
I'll
all
give
those
you $10. What is Alaska's thing where she's
like, that was in the workroom, but I'll pay you $10,000. I'll give you $10,000. I'll PayPal it to you.
Oh, my God.
But Cheryl Hole.
Party.
this look was interesting. This was the fringe minge that Bag of Reference during the entrance is.
I didn't hate it. In fact, I thought this was pretty successful as well as one of her runway looks.
I feel like of all the queens, and I'm looking at my notes, I wrote the least about her. So I think she, to me, was the most forgettable.
I mean,
I actually would have been. I was most interested in seeing her perform at the end of the episode. Like I was like, I wanted to.
Because she's a dancer. I mean, yeah. I think she would have been, and it will be a good lip syncer. But I was otherwise kind of.
I wish the sheer portion, the nude illusion, was a little darker, because it's a very jarring line at her neck.
Yeah.
So
it didn't match very well.
It's not so much of a nude illusion as I'm wearing a beige outfit with a strappy weird bikini and fringe.
I get that. Yeah.
Cheryl Hole.
What about Miss, was it Gothy?
Oh, Gothy Kendall.
Did anybody else think her proportions were a little odd?
You mean in this first outfit or just in general?
I think in general, but the first outfit really emphasized it. I'm not going to say Oompa Loompa, except I did just say Oompa Loompa. But I mean, there's a weird, like, I don't know. Her proportions are odd to me.
Is it because of the buns on the top of the head?
That might also be part of it. It might be a visual
cone head.
Yeah. It was
situation.
Weird.
I don't know. It just reminded me of that baby toy that was the little rocking thing with the peg in the middle, and then you put the donuts on it. The large, medium, and small donuts.
Yeah,
the stacking toy.
Yeah. Towers of Hanoi.
That's what it looked. I like the outfit. I thought it was cute. I like the shimmery material.
Well, looking at this picture on Facebook or where, you know, it's like I didn't even notice the garters. You could see those through.
That was not as apparent on the show. And I mean, we're on the Drag Race UK official page, and they have all the entrance looks. These are obviously done with studio lighting for photography, which is going to show you more of the sheerness where television lighting in a studio isn't going to have that same direct impact on the material. So
you think they did these right before they walked into the workroom, or do you think they did this?
Might even be in separate.
Like before the mini challenge?
Like it may have been completely a different thing.
I could almost see it being as they were getting there, and because they sequester all the queens separately.
Yeah, so like, okay, come out of your room, go to this station. Where
I could almost say them being like, your call time is 1 o'clock. They come in, they do the photos, blah, 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 whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Sequester. Your call time is 1:30.
Oh, gotcha.
They come in, and then like that way they bring the girls in and then do these shoots, have some time to do it, and then sequester them, and then shoot.
Yeah.
That would be my thought on it, because then they're still fresh. It's the freshest that look will be
right
out of the entire day.
Yeah.
But I thought it was cute. I like the sheer material. The collar might be a little much. I think it takes away from the big hoops. You know, the bigger the hoop, the bigger the hoe. And I can totally feel for her with like having the snaggle tooth and whatnot, and putting your hand up when you laugh and all that. I felt so bad for her.
Oh, I bet in a year or two she'll have veneers.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Well,
I mean, she didn't win a RuPaul badge or a Wild Presents series, so maybe not. We'll see. But I did love... we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. Cheryl Strokes. Vinegar Strokes. Cheryl. Oh,
she looks like a Cheryl.
I'm being reminded of my old boss at TJ Maxx. Vinegar Strokes.
I mean, it's not a bad look, but I think all of her looks were a little disappointing, except for the one they didn't use.
It's...
And for what they set her up about her, you know, acting, and she's friends of Michelle, or she's worked with Michelle, or she's been doing all this stuff with... You know, anyway, what's the theater area called?
The West End.
The West End. Yeah. Like, they definitely set her up as this, she's the queen to beat, and then... collapse like a flan in a cupboard.
Well, it just seemed like she's got the experience, but...
Right, but they emphasize that to set up the fall, right?
I don't think so, because, I mean, if you're doing a West End show, let's talk about Jamie.
Everybody's talking about Jamie.
You're being dressed. You're wearing a show costume.
Right.
So I don't think that necessarily, and but I mean,
you're telling me the producers didn't use that as a foil to set her up once they knew that she was not going to do as well? Of course they did. That's what the show does. That's absolutely 100% what RuPaul producers do. We've seen this for 10 plus years. Oh, come on.
But I'm sure she would have talked about her experience in it,
right?
Regardless.
But they choose what you hear, so they can say all kinds of shit, and that doesn't mean you're going to get it in the final edit. That is 100%.
They also need to talk about it, because you have to address the fact that she's worked with Michelle.
You have to address it, but I'm saying I feel like they added a little extra. And again, that's what these shows do. I mean, this isn't a new idea.
I mean, it didn't feel like a setup.
I watched this a minute before we started recording. I finished it. I'm telling you right off this, that's what they did.
Because that's your opinion, and you're entitled to it.
I mean, personally, it didn't seem any further than Vivian talking about all of her experience and the fact that she had won the previous RuPaul pageant.
You're right.
Or
she did win.
Divided Acampo's experience and all of that. I mean,
yeah, because a lot of these queens aren't just in a nightclub, you know, lip syncing. Most of them aren't lip syncing. Most of them are out there singing, or they're doing some sort of production, or they're in theater, or they're doing these things. So I don't know. In what I've seen in the 11 seasons of Drag Race in the U.S., it didn't feel, and it probably was, but it didn't feel as heavy-handed trying to build her up. Because I didn't think that she was going to be in the bottom two, to be completely honest. I thought Cheryl Hole, because then they also showed that portion where she's like, fuck this hat, you know, I'm in the bottom. Like, I kind of thought it was going to be Cheryl Hole in the bottom, to be honest. I think
as a passive viewer, but also knowing the production behind the scenes and how they do this, the patterns, right? The storylines. And this is just one episode.
Or what you believe to be the patterns, because we don't have
firsthand knowledge. I am sure that based on what we have heard from people like Willem and other show queens that have come out of the show, that have basically confirmed this, there is heavy-handed producing going on. I'm not saying they're putting words in people's mouth.
I was going to say, because if you listen to the most recent episode, she flat out says they never...
Right.
They never told us what to say.
Right, they don't.
They ask you questions to get sound bites.
And what they cut in as a response is not necessarily the thing you think it is.
It's a Franken clip.
Right.
Yes.
So
Adam Ruins Everything about reality shows,
saying is, when I just watched this, I felt like they, and after I saw the whole show, after I knew where it ended, I thought they set that up. Not set it up as like they're going to make her fail. She failed on her own. But they emphasize the difference.
I still think that Cheryl Hole was in my watching. I thought Cheryl Hole would have ended up in the bottom.
She was close. Oh yeah, she was real. Wasn't she like the
She was in the bottom three also. Yeah. All right, and our 10th and final queen is the Vivian, looking like she got wrapped up for a present giving experience.
Now this is the one that's the drag ambassador.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, she was crowned the drag ambassador.
Don't think I ever heard about that, so that was interesting.
I mean, it was just a little pageant thing that RuPaul went over and did.
It's like Porkchop winning Miss DragCon 2018 or whatever. Like,
it was RuPaul saying, okay, we're not here yet, but we understand that you're here.
Well, because, I mean, this has been in the works for a couple of years now. Without RuPaul behind the judging table hosting it, there was a lot of talk about, well, this person's going to host it or this person's going to host it. Like, this isn't just, oh, well, they just came up with this like 8 months ago and decided, let's do it. So I think it was a bit of a tide over until they could work out details and until they could tranquilize RuPaul enough to get him on a plane and send him over there to host it. But anywho, so those are our 10 inaugural queens in RuPaul's Drag Race UK.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Rue enters the workroom. She gathers them around after the message.
A very fancy suit.
Yeah, it's very, very...
Florals for spring.
Oh.
Groundbreaking.
So she comes in after the video message, talks about royalty and the queen and being off with your head and all that stuff. She tells them that their first photo shoot is going to be taking place and their runway look is going to be inspired by Queen Elizabeth II. And then she says, gentlemen, start your engines and may the best... Wait. Had she done that, I'd have fucking fell off my seat. Start your engines and That's not all, because it's the first season of Drag Race UK. The queens are not just responsible for one look, but they're responsible for two. Their second look is going to show why they are the queen of their hometown.
Which I think is a good challenge. I mean, it's very similar to the Lady Gaga ball that they had in season 9?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Because that's when all the craziness happened.
Yes.
That has spawned into so many controversies since that episode aired. Or since that episode was filmed, I should say, not aired. Ooh, Lord. Ooh, girl. Yes. She don't really know how hers is.
They all have.
They've all had theirs at this point. So their first challenge is a take on the photo challenges of U.S. past. Except this time around, instead of just doing, we're going to rotate you and shoot, like, you know, toxic goo on you by the pit crew. Or the Brit crew. Or the Brit crew. Oh, so delicious. God, I love the English. Sorry.
We've still only met two of the Brit crew.
I had to interject the Taylor Swift line in there. Sorry. Because of her song London Boy, which I just wanted to be the theme song for this entire thing. We don't have the rights to it, nor can we pay for that, so it will not be the theme song for this at all. Or they didn't have to jump into a foam pit and try to take a picture while flying through midair. They didn't have to be dunked in a dunk tank. They just got their heads chopped off, and they had a dog collar put around their heads.
It was kind of
a cone of shame.
It was a little reminiscent to the Princess Challenge from season 9.
Elaborate, because I'm not remembering this.
Just because they had to film themselves separately as a little sidekick character, which reminded me of the head part of
compositing.
It.
Compositing.
Yeah, yes. The whole composite thing.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
Even though it ended up being a still frame versus a whole runway presentation.
Yeah.
It just reminded me
of
that.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah, Trinity's the starfish.
The starfish, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Princess Disasterina.
Yeah, disaster.
Disaster, where we got the infamous.
It was the
gorgeous.
It was
you're
the
perfect.
Linda Evangelista.
You look like a model. You look like Linda Evangelista. They just eat her up every time she steps on that runway. She could come out there in a diaper, and they'd be like, "Oh, Valentina, your smile is beautiful. Did you stone those tights?" Oh, sorry. Come on, Aja.
Come through, Aja.
Is she gonna jump from there? And I whoop. So yeah, it was cute. I liked how we were able to get a little bit more of their personality, interacting with Rue and doing these like little quotes and whatnot that they did, the video part for.
Yeah.
Although honestly, they don't have to give away a prize of $100,000 because apparently, according to some YouTube channels, Jake Yance, it's drama that they don't give away a prize. It's different over there.
They're getting paid an exposure.
Oh God!
They get a badge. All right, they get
an enamel pin.
And
is it an enamel pin or is it like a little?
I don't know.
I'm curious.
Somebody said that it's like an enamel pin. I don't know. Maybe it's like making it. Wait, what was it?
That's what.
Was it making it? Was that the name of the show?
I think so.
Where they got the badges?
Yeah. No.
They got
absolutely.
The little iron.
The merit badges. Yeah. Hell yeah.
But I mean, I don't think game shows or like these types of reality shows in the UK they fall under different governing rules. And I don't think that that's a thing that they do over there, because if you look at the Great British Bake Off, they win a cake stand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like surprise. They get the honor of being, you know, the best amateur baker in the UK, and they get a cake stand. There's not a $25,000, $100,000, $2 million cash prize.
Which is probably why they're not just having them do a film series over there. They're actually going to fly them out to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Where the...
Well, that's also where the production studios
are.
But no, I think it's a... there's a lot of British quiz shows. There's a lot of British like game show types. And yeah, I don't think any of them do like big prizes.
Yeah, I think it's more of just like the honor of winning.
Yeah.
Which...
And that's enough.
Shows how different it is over in the UK versus us here in the States with game shows. But if they're not going to spend that money, couldn't they have flown like Mike Ruiz out to do pictures, like had a little bit of something, had some sort of Mike Ruiz equivalent from the UK coming to do the photo shoots. It was RuPaul and a tripod. Like, that's where's our budget going? We bought the tripod, sir. Okay, well, RuPaul's taking pictures, I guess. It's so weird. It was so weird to me.
You might as well just handed one of the pit crew or Brit crew a camera and been like,
I'd have almost been okay with that because then RuPaul could have interacted differently, like with them. I don't know.
So I have an answer about the prize thing. And you were right, Pat. It's the BBC is publicly funded. It's like their PBS, right?
Is it all of the BBC?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
BBC, not ITV, not the other channels, but
BBC.
Well, no,
because I only asked that because
it's BBC Three.
Yeah, it's BBC Three, but I know when they moved Great British Bake Off, there was a whole thing about like for-profit and commercialization. So I wasn't sure if there was like BBC 1 and 2 are the publicly funded portion and 3
all
and
public.
4.
They're
oh,
all
okay.
public.
Gotcha.
Because they pay a license fee. And
gotcha.
So yeah, they do not allow commercial sponsorships. So evidently that means they don't get paid money.
Interesting. Well, because I mean...
Oh, they don't allow commercial sponsorships, and that's probably where they got the money from.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Because, I mean, production isn't like...
You're right.
Here's $100,000.
Yeah, no, seriously. Okay, so that makes sense. And then they do cite the bake-off with the plate and the
yep,
whole thing.
The cake stand. That says the Great British Baking Show on it, not Great
yes.
British Bake Off.
Right.
Yes. Because they're like, okay, well, we're going to make sure that this can still get marketed over to the U.S. So we'll use their title and not our title, which I still find extremely odd, but hey. I think it would have been kind of funnier if the Brit crew had been taking the pictures.
Oh,
but hey. So the winner of that challenge was Scaredy Cat, which was...
interesting.
Yeah. She just shat herself.
Yeah, she
literally.
She shat herself.
It seemed very Golden Globes of RuPaul to do that. Because the foreign...
press crew. Or
yeah, they're
press
always giving it to the bright and shiny new up-and-comer person.
I mean, it's not always, I feel, the best that wins those challenges. Like, season 4, you had Jiggly, who won her photo challenge, the first mini challenge. And I mean, I like Jiggly, and it was a cute photo, but... Yeah. You definitely had other photos that looked better.
It's probably just RuPaul's favorite interaction with the...
Oh, I'm sure that is a huge
thing.
Yeah. I'm sure that's
like,
huge
it's
for
just
it.
The back and forth.
Yeah. So, I mean, Scaredy Cat won. Great. Awesome. Okay.
What was the prize for that? Or was there a prize? There wasn't a
no,
prize.
No, nothing. Yeah. Just, you won.
You think they do
the straights are taking everything.
Seriously. Ed Sheeran can take who's he dating these days out to dinner?
Oh.
They could have done like a little mini badge.
I don't know. It's interesting. And it's so funny. Like, it's so jarring in a way when you're so used to hearing like the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race will receive a sickening supply of whatever. Like, first off, they didn't even bother to make like a different opening. Aside from putting a Union Jack in one of RuPaul's hands and slapping UK at the end. And I'm like, can we have a little bit? Can we have a little like...
I'm sorry, what are you
chim
saying?
Chim chim cheerio.
What are you saying in all this?
Listen, first off, I'm just talking about the opening credits. Not about the show itself.
Okay.
I like the format of the show.
100% different.
And especially compared to Dragula. But that's just my thoughts.
Oh. I need to watch this. Is that on YouTube?
No, it's on Amazon Prime.
Oh gross.
Although I was so excited with this final. This last elimination made me really sad because it's the only queen on the show that I've actually met and I liked her and I was sad to see her get eliminated. I'm sorry, exterminated.
Oh, they have Daleks on the show?
It's
oh my god, that's totally a thing that could happen now.
What, with a Doctor Who episode?
With Drag Race UK, oh my god, it could happen!
That your mini challenges. Dress up as Dalek as a drag queen.
That is exciting. That is
totally
very
in.
Exciting. Oh
I want
my God.
A Dalek with a wig and lipstick. Oh, perfect.
Please.
It would
this.
Be just like the Hello Kitty one.
Yeah.
That could work. They have to drag up a Dalek.
Oh, and then Katsu gets eliminated again.
Oh.
Kenny Davenport says what she shouldn't have. So mad. Anywho. Oh, Lord. So we watch them get ready. We see the Vivian Taper head back.
Yep. Very. She even references Robin Williams in Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Which really did look a bit of what her look was, yes, to be honest. So we hit the runway for the first time on Drag Race UK. RuPaul comes out looking a vision in green. I'm sure Michelle was super excited for neon green with her neon pink earrings and her very Tina Turner Thunderdome mohawk look. I dug it, but hey, I mean, that's just me. And we've got our judges, Michelle Visage, who for the first time ever got introduced at the beginning of the episode when they talked about the judges. You know, usually it's with our extra special judges, blah, 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 blah. But this time around, it was Michelle Visage and Alan Carr and very extra special guest judge, Andrew Garfield. Spider-Man has now been a judge on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yay.
And was very super gay, and I loved it.
Yep.
His blue jeans were bell-bottomy.
And that everything. Big, like, satin shirt.
Yep.
I didn't like the jacket with it, but, yeah. I mean, he was giving me very Saturday Night Fever with the rest of the outfit. So we have our first queen out the gate is Crystal in her 3-day bender, blue, floofy dress, and her 10 kilos of pearls on her head. I was a very big fan of the pearl hair.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the wig was successful. The dress with the big 3-day bender thing on it was
too much.
Yeah, and the back of her jacket said the drag pearly. I don't understand that. Maybe it's another colloquialism that I didn't get, but I don't know. I thought she looked pretty, and showing off her hairy titties to the judges was cute. Throw it in their face. She's a cute boy, too. I wasn't mad when she got when she was shirtless and all up out of drags. I was like, I'm okay with this. Next up, you had Cheryl Hole as your Essex Nouveau Riche spray tan girl with the toilet paper and the vajazzling.
Very Paris Hilton-ish.
Yes. Oh my God, it really did harken back to like 2000, 2001, 2002.
With Simple Life.
Simple Life. Yep. Oh my goodness, yeah. Oh God, I forgot about that.
Simple Life / Clueless / I mean, there's a lot of...
Yeah, late that last couple of years of the 90s and the first couple of years of 2000 definitely encapsulate that moment.
Yeah.
Something Wong out next with her bull in a china shop look.
All the horns and nose ring.
And titties.
Oh.
And ass.
Did you just do a WoW reference?
No.
Oh, they said horde. You didn't say horde? No. He said horn.
All the horns.
The horns. Okay.
The nose ring.
I was just thinking like a WoW character. She kind of looked like a WoW character.
Oh, no, not those.
Yep,
ones.
She had 76 trombones.
Oh, but the trumpet tits later.
Yes, trumpet tits.
No, Something Wong's outfit was fantastic. I love her.
It just was like, why were there no Tauruses when I forget which season did the horoscope runway.
Oh, because there was probably no Taurus.
I know. It was just disappointing because I'm a Taurus and I'm like, I want to see myself represented. Where's my representation?
Oh God.
Oh my God. Have you caught up? Did you watch this last season of Top Chef finally?
No, I haven't.
Well, they do a horoscope based one, but it's
really?
Based off of your horoscope in your air, fire, water, earth sign type of
okay.
thing.
Yeah.
And nobody was earth. And I was like, either they planned this poorly or they planned this really well. Because then it was what's that elimination one? When they can go home at a quick fire.
Oh, sudden!
Is it sudden death quickfire? Is that what they call it?
I think so.
Whatever. So yeah, when they can get eliminated, they had the bottom three because nobody was Earth, and they had to all make a dish
gotcha.
With. They had to agree on we're gonna make this with the Earth products and then make a dish. So it was useful that way, but it was just kind of funny otherwise. Blue Hydrangea is up next with her cranes coming off her back.
I mean. It was a nice dress.
The dress is fine. The cranes, maybe not.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's just because we don't understand where she's coming from with them.
I really think she just didn't do a good job.
I don't know if any of the other girls really know these other girls' towns. Because when they were talking in the workroom, like, where are you from? It's like, I'm from some small village in this place. And it's like, okay. So nobody understands any of these outfits.
The UK, I don't think, is that big. But, like, I guess they don't get over to Ireland that often.
It's
I
like mean, you a got lot Scotland, of... you got Ireland, Wales. Not Northern. You got Wales, you got England.
There's a lot of localities that are very different. But I don't know that they all get around as much. But I think they got it.
Well, I mean, they don't need to, like, the other queens don't need to know,
right.
understand it necessarily, but it's just funny because it's like, represent your hometown. It's like, I'm from this little village that nobody's ever heard of here. Okay, cool.
I mean, there's definitely parts of Florida I've probably heard once and wouldn't recognize, you know, like their thing.
Yep.
I'm not going to disparage Florida.
No, you can.
I love the dress. I loved.
Oh, Google heard you.
Apparently Google's trying to disparage Florida over there. Or tell me a lesson about it. I don't quite know. I loved her. I loved her face. I loved the dress. I did not necessarily love her hair. It was a little much on one side. Not asymmetrical enough to be asymmetrical. And then next up, my fave, Bag of Chips, honoring the late Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, it was really
stumbling
good.
Down the runway.
That was probably the best performance of all of the first runways.
Yeah, it was also very on the nose, but I guess that's more of a British thing. I mean, Andrew Garfield even called it out when they were doing the critiques that in the UK, this is what they want to see when they're honoring a person.
Right, right.
Whereas in other parts of the world, it may look kind of bad taste.
I'm trying to think of, like, who's an American artist that had a drug overdose? Okay,
well, I mean, it's...
Whitney Houston. It's
well,
like...
yeah. But I mean, it's even like when I think it was... Shoot, who was it? Was Peppermint going to be Whitney for...
No, Monet. When Monet was Whitney, and she didn't want to do the drug things. For
right, because RuPaul even said that to her. Yeah. Like, how are you going to do it without doing
yeah,
it? Because
so
that would be really
in
poor
taste.
So yeah, it's interesting.
Which, I mean, yeah. Because that definitely, because she was for All Stars 4. They were going to do the All Stars of... No, Snatch Game of Love.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Speaking of homages to past or artists who have passed, you had the Vivian coming out doing her homage to Pete Burns,
which I mean, once they talked about him, I understood who it was, but really the only visual representation I have in my memory for Pete Burns is just that one
music video
yeah. for
the one that Paul Rudd and Jimmy Fallon gloriously recreated.
Yes.
I had to Google because I was not familiar with their later stuff, and I didn't realize the gender bending and all the other facial work that he had done or they had done. I don't know what their pronouns of choice is, but yeah, now after seeing those pictures, I'm like, oh yeah, she nailed it.
Yeah, no, it definitely gave me Pete Burns, the face, the hair, the outfit and the boots I wasn't as familiar with, but I could definitely get the Pete Burns from it, which was pretty cool. After that, we had Vinegar Strokes. So let's talk about this whole piece. So she has this cute dress. I mean, it's purple. It's got a little flare at the waist. It's tapered at the legs. And the River Thames on her waist.
Sure.
But, like, not wrapped around her waist like a belt. It's just sticking off on both sides.
Appliqué, but not really.
It's like she made it for a grade school art project and then just taped it to her belt.
And what was the little medallion thing? Well, I didn't get that at all. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird.
I don't
Which,
quite know.
And then you pointed out before the show that there was a controversy.
So, okay, in preparing for the show, I was looking up trying to get the runway looks, and I came across an article that talks about the runway look that was banned from RuPaul's Drag Race UK, and it was Vinegar Strokes. She had this whole conceptual look for the underground, and had an Oyster card in her hair, and like, underground cars or, you know, subway cars in her, like in her hair and the updo that she had. And when she put her arms out, it was the tube map with the line that, I guess...
Brighton line, I think?
Brixton.
Brixton, yeah.
So, and it had, like, some of the stops on it and whatever. And it looked really cool. And her earrings were the TFU logo.
Yeah.
But the TFU apparently blocked it for licensing. So she could not wear it, so she had to switch to this other outfit, which ostensibly put her into the bottom.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Her queen look wasn't amazing either. But
yeah,
we'll
but
get
I
to
think,
that in a second.
I think she would have been definitely safe with that tube look.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. No, I think she would have been, which then would have made it very interesting.
To see who would have been the other person in the bottom three. There.
Exactly. Because then I look at it and go, well, Cheryl Hole's first look was really strong. Her second, maybe not as much. But who would have then taken that spot? And would Cheryl have just then, at that point, dropped into the bottom two?
Yeah.
So the world may never know, unless there is a timeline that is not the darkest timeline that we're in, that actually went through. And she had some weird thing in her hair. I just noticed that. I don't know. It was a very interesting look. Gothy Ken doll.
Rawr.
Rawr.
Grr. Grr.
Yeah.
I got it. I don't understand it, though.
Her face looked great.
Yeah, I mean, like,
the makeup job
was
fine.
But the outfit and the
Outfit was cute.
Mainly the performance and or lack of...
But
that's, I think, more of the issue.
The thing was, also, I guess she's representing a football team? Football, soccer.
No, I don't think so. I think there might be like a tiger statue or a tiger, like, town mascot or of some sort. I mean, I'm sure it also relates to whatever sports team or whatnot. Because, like, something Wong's bull, it was a bull statue. Like, that's what it was. Like, that's what this town is known for, is this, like, bull sculpture that's there.
Right.
So it might be something similar to that.
Okay. It just seemed like, okay, it's a pretty dress, and her hair looks regular and fine, and then just a cat face.
Which, as they pointed out, I'll try to America it up. It's like if you went to a carnival and got your face painted at one of those booths. It's really just kind of what it felt like.
Yeah, it just seemed disjointed. Like, it didn't match the rest of the outfit. Whereas if it was a sports team that was being referenced, then could have gone for more of like the uniform look.
Even had there been more orange, more cat features, had claws,
the look.
Had ears out of the hair, something that tied into that, and it wasn't just pretty tiger makeup.
Yeah.
Grr. Like, yeah, it just it didn't fill the whole thing.
And I mean, for all the talk in the workroom of scaredy cats lack of experience with ever performing or ever going to a drag show, you could definitely tell that Gothy Ken doll has never walked a runway before.
Absolutely.
Right.
Which is much different. Much different than any type of drag experience, because you can perform and not know how to walk a runway. If you don't do pageants, you don't do stuff like that, pageants will prepare you to present a walk.
Right.
And I don't think there's as much pageantry in that respect in the UK. So when you can go out and perform and do... Although watching the lip sync, I don't know how much performing she's done either, so we'll see.
Because, I mean, in the Meet the Queens video, she talked more about being a DJ versus being a performer.
Oh, she's Pearl. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. Speaking of Scaredy Cat, our next look on the runway in this montage of looks is Scaredy Cat coming out as almost like a swamp witch.
Yeah, which this seemed more original with her having a small hometown, which I don't know what to do with. Okay, I'll be folklore. I'll be all of folklore, basically.
I still want to see more cinching. I maybe that's a British thing where they don't cinch as much. But not necessarily. Okay, let me rephrase that. Not cinching. I want to see these dresses that just fall to be more fitted.
Yeah.
If it's meant to be in a certain way, I don't want to feel like you could push it in and it's going to... There's space for it to move, like, to be closer in. if you're full figured, if you're whatever, like, then fine. Then have it be a little bit more form fitting. I don't want to see, like, you picked up this dress off the rack and it doesn't fit you 100%.
It should be more bespoke, not, yeah, I know what you're saying.
It should be your dress, not a dress.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Sorry, I had Kanye West running through my head at that point. Before he speak his soup, he spoke. And you thought he was cute before. Look at this peacoat. Tell me he's broke. So, but I thought it was cute. I mean, I find Scaredy Cat very interesting. Our final look on the runway is Trumpet Tits herself, Davina DeCampo. I thought this look was ridiculous in all the right ways.
It was so over the top, which was very appreciated by me.
Oh, yeah. Very much.
The plasticky-looking wig.
Yep.
Yep.
Like that one guy who just passed away.
Chris March.
His line at the Target.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Absolutely, absolutely. I liked the gold teapot. I thought it was a little, like, when it got to the wig, it looked a little jumbled. Like, I wasn't sure. Is it just spilling? Like, it looked like it was just a blob. But I loved having the teapot, like, pouring onto her head. I loved the trumpet tits. Like, it was cute. It really did such a service to her as an artist and a drag queen. I thought it was awesome. And she worked it. She put her thing down, flipped it, and reversed it.
Wow.
So then we go into the second phase. It's like the ball already. It's craziness. So now we have Queen Elizabeth Realness.
The Night of a Thousand Queens.
And they're all in kimonos. Who knew? So Crystal comes out in very Hunter Queen. She's got the medals, very British military queen.
Yeah.
She's got the sash. She's got the very Royal Army top and the crop and the hat and the tight pants. And I lived for it.
Which I certainly, this is where I really appreciated production doing the split screen picture of the queen.
Yes.
Because, like, I recognized a couple of the looks throughout the runway.
But that first one.
But, like, this one, I've never seen the queen.
It just looked very traditional British riding outfit, you know, jodhpurs and all that other crap. But, it helps.
This brought me way back to season 3 and Alexis Mateo and her Marine Corps outfit. Poppy, come home, please. I miss you.
Oh, for her, when she was talking to her
actual
living, breathing, 100% true boyfriend.
What if we told you he was backstage? I would say hi, nice to meet you. Okay, if you don't listen to Ray Chaser, Eric and I started slipping into Ray Chaser commentary. It's great. Sickening, no? Fucking Willem's impersonation of Alexis doing it. Sickening, no? Is my favorite fucking thing to come out of that show. So that was Crystal's Queen look. I lived. It was everything I could have wanted in a fucking outfit.
Yeah, in some ways, it reminded me a little bit of Brooke's Mountie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look. But I appreciated that it was the material that it was done in. Was it
that PVC?
Was that what it was?
It looked very shiny.
Yeah.
It looked like it could have been PVC.
I wasn't sure if it was latex or...
I don't think it was latex. I mean, it could have been. A lot of them were wearing latex at Dragon, so maybe that's maybe that's a UK thing. But did you clock her hat falling off as she exited the runway?
Yes.
Oops.
There goes my hat. Cheryl Hole comes out as her queen.
The pink outfit.
Yeah, her daytime queen, as they refer to it. And she's just strolling through the garden.
She was holding her arm like she had a purse.
Without a purse.
She came out arm first instead of purse first.
Yes. She had the emperor's new purse.
Oh. It was a cute look. I will not disparage the look. I like the pearl trimming, but it just wasn't special. There was nothing to it.
I think the thing that looked most off to me about it was that it was two different shades of pink, the dress and the coat. They were close, but they weren't matching. So it,
Which is tough if you're going to do that. You need to...
You either need to match them exactly, or they need to be significantly different enough that you understand that...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I learned that when I was getting ready for Turnabout the last time I was in it, because my dress had red on it, and I was told, don't get red jewelry, because it either needs to match it, or it's going to look off.
Yeah.
And if you can't match it exactly... Go for something different. Go for like black jewelry. Go for something that's going to complement it versus trying to match it, because it's just not going to work. Because
then there's a visual dissonance.
Yeah.
It's like,
And that's what people will pay attention to. Something Wong is next, and I fucking howled.
So good.
This was such a brilliant idea, and everything from the shoulders up worked for me. It was just the rest of the dress... And I mean, obviously, that's where your eye is supposed to go. And the whole point of the outfit is the stamp look. But it just seemed like the dress itself was just very not thought about.
Yeah, and it doesn't hit the ground, as Michelle likes to point out to Adore Delano often. Yeah. But the lick me on the back when she turned around was phenomenal. I thought as a concept, it was fantastic.
The concept is brilliant.
Speaking of concept being fantastic, when Blue Hydrangea comes out as the 2-pound coin.
Yes.
Brilliant. With the fucking coin splitting her head and the dress. I love the dress. That bronze with the silver accent.
It's gorgeous.
Phenomenal. If I'm going to critique something, I'm going to critique the fact that she did not paint her neck.
Yes, it drove me crazy.
Well, and not even that. She did paint it, but it got to a point where there wasn't a hard line.
Right.
There was nothing.
If there had been a hard line, it would have made more sense.
Yes.
Had she done it
or faded it or something.
In a circle. Circular to match the coin.
Yeah.
Because that center is silver. Had the neck been like rounded to try to match it, I'd have been like, bravo. But watch it. First, I was so taken aback the first viewing that I was like, this is fucking brilliant. Like, I love the fact that they're taking and not just making it, oh, this is this pretty look. This is this concept. And you want us to do a look by inspired by the queen? You have a stamp. You've got a coin. Like, oh, I love it. And then I was like watching it again. I'm like, okay, let's now take a look a little bit more.
I'm surprised they didn't call her out on it either.
Well, she was one of the safe queens.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's why. Yeah.
You're right. But I think she must have had to practice walking with that coin a long time, because the way that was cut, you're cutting off your eyes from each other.
Yeah.
And that's just going to throw...
Your brain is just like, what the fuck?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was... it was brilliant, and I tipped my coin to her. I tipped my 2-pound coin to Blue Hydrangea. Baga is next with her 1970s queen-inspired look.
Club 54, or Studio 54 look.
Which I liked that she didn't do an exact interpretation. I liked the fact that she flowered the coat.
Yes.
I thought that was a nice elevation of the look. And I didn't have as much of a problem with her wearing a little, with her aging herself.
Well, but as she said to Michelle, that's her face. She didn't age herself. That's bag of makeup. Because even when they like cut to the confessional... It just still looks like her. Again, Baga in drag, Baga out of drag.
I think it was just that she grayed her hair so much.
Oh, maybe. But, I mean...
I don't know.
I did like the coat very much. Her scratching at her ass was kind of a funny little tongue-in-cheekness.
Listen, even the queen, I'm sure, gets wedgies at some point in time.
I'm sure she does. But hopefully not in her hunting attire, which is... the Vivian's look, with her very Mrs. Doubtfire-esque scarf over her head, the white Mrs. Doubtfire wig.
I was like, is she trying to be Katya's mom?
babushka.
Oh my god, that's
my little babushka.
Phenomenal. And then the duck hunt ducks hanging off of her pants.
Yes.
Her waders, because again, she's in flats. But I thought it was a super cute look.
And I definitely appreciated that she went for something completely different. She thought outside of the...
And then she flossed. She did the fucking floss on the runway.
That was a little disconcerting. I'm like, what? Oh, okay.
And then slipped right back into her disdain look. It was good times. Next up was Vinegar Strokes. Okay.
I couldn't believe that the queen ever wore a turban until they showed the picture of the queen of the turban.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay.
And this is 1970s queen, so yeah. we'll point that out. The turban didn't throw me as much as it was an ill-fitted turban.
Yes.
Because if turbans like that usually don't have all that extra little poofy like space on them. They're very tight and they fit very close to the head.
And I think it's probably because
it was filled with 300 pounds of glitter.
And multiple wigs.
Yeah. And multiple wigs. Not pinned down. It was fine. It's just a lot of yellow. It was just a lot.
That one was
of yellow.
Which Studio 54 one.
Which, yes, that was the Studio 54. Okay. That was the 70s one.
Yeah. I didn't mind all the yellow. But it looked like a Party City costume.
Yeah, it was.
As far as the make of it.
Yep.
Like, it didn't look like fashion at all.
Yeah, it definitely did give very last minute, very, again, something that didn't feel like it fit her.
Right.
Or wasn't made for her. She didn't make it. It wasn't suited to her. It was a generic outfit that was put on by her and used to walk the runway. Next up is Gothy Ken Doll, which I thought it was a cute. It was the 1950s queen.
Yeah, I definitely understood the queen reference.
Yes, it was because it's very much along the lines of, is the show called The Queen?
The Crown.
The Crown.
Yeah.
I felt like that is probably the most, and it's probably where she got the idea, like, and that's the inspiration from it was to do that look because it is such a popular show.
Yeah.
And it was going to be something instantly recognizable in that respect. But I don't think it dragged it up enough.
No.
And the nude top was too nude, I guess, is, I think, the problem there. Scaredy Cat comes out as a baby queen.
Ugh.
Where, baby slash, like, not toddler, like 6-7 year old,
but she played it like a toddler.
Yeah,
she not even a
not
toddler
even, yeah.
She played it as like
fetish
a
queen.
One or two, oh yeah,
baby fetish queen.
Yeah, this was like princess, this was supposed to be the princess queen where she's, you know, it, maybe 10 maybe 12, and she played it as a baby, and I thought she was gonna get red for it because then when she did the temper tantrum and threw the shoe and the custom Michelle going, oh, like, that's usually code for,
yeah,
this isn't going to read well, but it was apparently fine. After her, we have Davina DeCampo in the Order of the Garter Queen look, which I thought was gorgeous.
Yeah, this to me is just well done drag. Like, this is definitely one where we were saying where, like, for Vinegar, it was just a dress or not well-fitting. Like, this one was definitely hers and well-tailored and...
and pulled away to reveal her garter because she was the Order of the Garter Queen. And she had on the lingerie, and it was sparkly in the center around the almost kind of the corsety part of the lingerie piece. It was well done. Davina is definitely... A ringer, in essence. I don't want to say a ringer, but a ringer. She's got her shit together, and I appreciate that about her. So those are our runway looks. So your safe queens were Crystal, Scaredy Cat, Davina DeCampo, and Blue Hydrangea. And they get sent back to the workroom, and you get your critiques. I don't think there was anything too out of the ordinary with the critiques that were something that made me think, oh, I don't agree with this whatsoever. I think they were all pretty spot on, and I think that it's stuff that we've all, like, we've touched on with these looks.
I thought everything made sense. Michelle wasn't too harsh,
No.
I didn't think.
No. So then you end up with your bottom three being Cheryl Hole, Gothy Ken Doll, and Vinegar Strokes, and your top three being Bag of Chips, The Vivian, and Something Wong. Your winner ends up being the Vivian, which I think was well-deserved. I think that had something Wong had a little more polish to it, I think she could have been the winner. But I'm not mad about it. I'm fine with Vivian taking the win on the first challenge and getting the coveted RuPaul's Drag Race UK badge. Because again, no prizes. And you're after some deliberation and Cheryl Hole saying, "Fuck this hat. I'm gonna be in the bottom two." And then some chatting in the back as part of their untuckedness of this episode. They're back on the runway. And Cheryl Hole is not in the bottom two. She is safe, which then leads to it being Gothy Ken Doll versus Vinegar Strokes as your bottom two on this first episode of RuPaul's Drag Race UK. Which leads to probably one of the most underwhelming lip syncs I've ever seen in my life.
Well, I mean, the song they used was... I mean, I like New Rules, but... It's not a song I think of that's going to make a high-energy lip-sync performance.
I mean, there were times where Vinegar brought some high energy. But overall, New Rules by Dua Lipa did not make for an entertaining and exciting lip-sync. Gothy, again, showed her inexperience.
She was trying... It harkened back to when... Naisha.
Which time when she got eliminated the first time?
Yes. When she was doing applause, and basically she didn't know what to do except stand there and clap. And it just seemed like Gothy Ken Doll was trying to maybe do the choreo from the video for New Rules. I don't know. I haven't seen it
enough to know. She just knew not to park and bark.
Because you could tell in her head, she was like, okay, this is where I have to go. 1, 2, 3, 4.
I thought she was just counting her steps. She's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, kick. 1, 2, 3, kick. Like, Yeah,
there was nothing like natural.
Yeah, there was no flow to her at all. It was very stiff. It was very regimented movement. Like, 1, 2, 3, huh. But then Vinegar Strokes is like, well, if I'm going to lip sync, we all know... A reveal and a trick and a stunt is always what's going to save you. So while they were backstage, she put 14 pounds of glitter into her turban.
And most of it stayed right on her forehead.
On her forehead.
But the thing is, she didn't need to come so hard.
No, but neither did Trinity Taylor in season 9 when she lip sank against Charlie Hyde.
Yeah.
Where Charlie just stood there.
Yeah.
And Trinity's fucking tucking and rolling across the stage and like pounding it and basically having to get a respirator at the end of it. So, I mean,
You just don't know how it's going to read. So, exactly. You got to do your best.
But the turban comes off, the glitter goes everywhere. And then she's like, that's not my only stunt, Rue. I got more. And she pulls the wig off. You know, well, it's one, and the turban comes off, and it's two, and the wig comes off, and then three. She has to reset the wig underneath because it wasn't pinned down. I was like, all right, cute. Oh, work on that, Vinegar. Work on that. I appreciate the effort. Execution sloppy.
No butterflies were harmed this time, so that's good.
Butterfly in the sky.
I mean,
I can fly twice as... Oop!
Oop!
I just wish she had to use that stunt.
Yeah, I think otherwise it would have been a really flat lip sync. So in essence, I'm kind of glad there was something.
Yeah.
So our first UK queen to sashay away is Gothy Ken Doll, and in my head when I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my god, she's the pork chop of Drag Race UK. And what did her lipstick message say? She's the pork chop of Drag Race UK. And I was like, well, I'm glad you are at least self-realized. So that ends that first episode. Vinegar Stroke stays, Gothy Ken Doll leaves, and if you haven't watched this yet, on Friday, Logo will be airing this at 8 p.m. On Logo. So I know a lot of bars are utilizing WoW Presents Plus, and they're doing viewing parties on Thursdays, because I think... it's like 3 in the afternoon it gets released here in the States, because I think it goes out at 8 o'clock in the UK. I think it might be timed with it showing on BBC 3. Okay. So we get it in the mid-afternoon, and so that makes it easier for Bars to be able to download the episode, because I had buffering issues as well. And after like the third time that it buffered in the middle of the thing, I was like, and download, and back out, and restart the episode, or restart, and it was perfect from there. So check your local Bars, go watch it, or get WoW Presents Plus. It's $4 a month, and it's not just Drag Race UK, you also get access to Drag Race Thailand. I'm sure that Drag Race Canada and Drag Race Australia will be put on the service. You get all of WoW Presents Plus television shows, including Tea with Tati, Transformations with James St. James, and tons more. So that's $3.99, or you can do $39.99 and get a year with a month free, and then you're paying for two less months. So, I mean...
Or it's... split the cost with a friend.
Or get a commune together and everybody pitches in $4 with 10 of you. You're set for the year. We don't condone piracy and sharing of passwords for streaming services. Purchase your own.
Obey all terms and conditions.
Piracy is not a victimless crime. So as we get ready to head out of here, don't forget to check us out online, flameonshow.com. We have an updated About Us section.
Yay!
Everybody's stuff is up there, and Eric doesn't say that he has a degree in entomology, because I had to copy and paste the text box, oops, and I forgot to update a section. Oh. And I had it called out by Josh. He was like, yeah, I saw it. And you forgot to take and change Eric's thing, and it says, I have a degree in entomology. But we have an About Us section that is all new and fresh and updated. Your six regular hosts are all now featured with brand new, and for some of us, first time, profile photos up on the site, both on the desktop and the mobile site. We have also launched our very own Patreon. We love The Nerdy Show, and we are still part of The Nerdy Show Network, which has now grown and is now part of the Omniverse Collective, I'll call it, because I don't remember what it really is, but it's Omniverse now. But you can support them at patreon.com/nerdyshow. That still is their Patreon site. You'll see Omniverse now, so don't be alarmed. Or if you want your dollars to come directly to us and help support and sponsor our shenanigans here at the Flame On Studios, go to patreon.com/flameonshow. Branding is important. So anywhere that you put in Flame On Show, you'll find us. And you can become one of our patrons at any of the four levels you choose. And yeah, you got some great little bonuses there. There's some stuff that I've uploaded over the weekend, some audio, including a 15-minute rant by Oral about Shangela being robbed during All Stars 3. there is Eric's yuck audio clip if you want to make that your text message tone or a notification tone. There's some fun stuff up there, so check us out on patreon.com/flameonshow, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with a pop culture roundup with more delicious pop culture tidbits for you to sink your teeth into. And with that being said, we are out of here. Peace.
Bye. Bye, bitch.
Bye, bitch.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.